Mornings, David Lee Roth on 92.3 Free FM.
Radio Rock, la première chose du matin. Télé Dave, rien d'autre que du yeah. Nothing but yeah.
Radio Dave, nothing but yeah. New York, sharing a little blunt rhythm trauma. Philadelphia with Dallas, with Boston, with Cleveland, with Pittsburgh, with Palm Beach. That sounds good. That's Brian playing live in the background. Play it up, baby. Ooh, yeah. I'm not gonna talk about Lindsay Lohan. I'm not gonna take a high hand with the low hand. I'm feeling my black rage, man. Do you like girls like Lindsay Lohan, Animal? Is that your type?
No kind of way, baby. I like people like how, you know, with big.
I just have to say, I gotta say,
you gotta see when Animal puts his.
I like people with big, and he stuck his chest out all big.
No. He put his hands apart. An Animal is like 6'5", so when he puts his hands apart, it's like you could squeeze 8 basketballs between them.
You can't even see the Pepsi can. The Pepsi can. You can't even see it in his hand
when he. Are you drinking Pepsi?
Oh, I was.
You know that has meth in it.
I love it. I used to like Coca-Cola's because they had Coke in it.
No. You thought that was. But you know what? If you know how much caffeine there is in soda pop? That'll keep you awake.
Oh, yeah. They drink it down south in the morning instead of coffee.
Come on. You know, this is like they drink it down south instead of breakfast, too.
I like Diet Pepsi while I'm driving my BMW.
That's right. She's still angling in case the... Yesterday, we said we dug McDonald's, and the guy showed up with 40 metric pounds of McDonald's. So now Linda's going, we love BMW. Right,
hey, Dave, BMW. You remember how Anna Nicole looked when she was big?
Hold on one sec. This sounds interesting.
You remember how Anna Nicole looked when she was big?
I've always liked Anna
that
Nicole and all of her
favorite
faces.
Woman size when she was big. That's what Anna will be Zoftig. Looking for.
Zoftig? That's German, right? What does that mean exactly? Do you know?
Fleshy.
So you feel,
we call it PP, pleasingly plump.
So you feel like you've been somewhere, right?
Yeah. You roll over and you steal on
it. Takes you a little while to get back.
Lose your car keys in that one.
They're gonna make a new Vermont teddy bear just for him.
An Anna Nicole Smith teddy bear from Vermont, right?
I'll buy one.
Yeah.
What would it do?
Yeah. I think they should have a lesbian teddy bear.
For Anna Nicole?
No,
you would buy them in a pair. Can you split up a pair?
He has a tool belt, and you know, instead of chocolate, and it comes with its own cat, and instead of chocolate, you get a Home Depot credit card with it. The lesbian teddy bear. I don't see why not. There's a whole market out there for it.
I think that it would sell hugely. You're not kidding, and I'm going along
I think
with
it's
this.
A great idea.
No, I'm dead serious.
Why wouldn't you have a? What would the lesbian teddy bear be wearing?
No, I just said, you know, you put a tool belt on it, or you it comes with a cat. You know, that's a prerequisite for being a lesbian. And then, you know, Home Depot gift card, and you know.
What do you say? He's pointing at something. What are
no,
you pointing
rubbing,
at?
No, rubbing was off my.
Oh, was I?
I was directing her.
Sorry, darling.
You can do other things with it, but you know, it's you know, and then.
And would they only come in pairs?
Yeah, you could do it that were. Way. Yeah, they can come in pairs, I guess. But, you know, you would love them to come in pairs, wouldn't you, Dave?
Mind blasting. Anna Nicole Smith is just in the news recently, right? Isn't she now back in the trial with her 90-year-old sugar daddy or something like that?
I didn't know she was out of the trial.
He is soon.
This time.
What? Is she getting paid? Is they have made a settlement?
There's a difference between federal court and the is it the Texas court? I believe it is.
Oh, there's
a federal court and state court. Federal court ruled one way. State court ruled another way.
I say this: if the old guy, he's what was he, 90 years old or something? Mm. He had that look, the same look that Janet Jackson's little husband has. You know, that little guy, he's half her size, and he's got that look all the time, like the I'm getting over look.
Yeah, he had that little pep. In his walker, everything, you know what I mean?
Sure, he had pep, of course. And he got himself what qualifies in certain parts of Texas as a trophy wife, right? And that's right. And hey, what the hell? She earned it, I guarantee.
Do you think her son had to call him daddy?
Jesus, that's potential. Do you think she called him daddy? You know she did.
I would imagine.
Oh, wait a minute.
Did.
I saw a thing on the on television about her true background. She comes from trailer.
Oh yeah.
She really comes from trailer.
Absolutely.
And that's now an expression. The vatos down in Texas now have a new expression. It's trailero. Trailer.
Trailer nation.
Oye, trailero. See, that's muy popular. That's the new slang down there. I like Anna Nicole when she's fat. I don't like. Uh-oh, that caught some attention.
Yeah. He likes
me. She's calorically challenged.
No, come on. With a butt that big, there's bound to be a train. With a caboose that big, there's bound to be a train wreck up ahead. We're going to take a call. It says... Number 12, MJ, weed is just bad. Is somebody actually on number 12?
Yeah, what's up, brother?
You, talk to me.
Hey, what's going on, man? Longtime fan, man. Good luck with the show.
Thank you so much. What do you want to talk about today?
It's not just coke and, methamphetamine. I recently, a couple months back, bought some herb, and this stuff must have been laced with something, man, because I felt like I was going crazy, man. I felt like I was vuelto loco.
Yeah, Dave, there was some weed caught with bad
insane,
stuff.
Man, I didn't know what was going on. I never felt like that before from smoking, long time pothead.
Okay, look, hold on one second. Let's investigate. What is it that you know here, Lynn?
Yeah, I mean, there was we got a little warning up where I live that there's been some bad weed going around that was cut, and it was cut with like a type of speed, actually. They sprinkled like a crystal meth on it, and it's this new combination. Almost like, I guess, what they used to call a speedball and coke.
Primo.
You used to have like heroin and coke mixed together. Mm. There's evidently some type of pot that's being treated, you know.
What do you know about that animal? What do they call that?
Well, they call them primos.
What is it? Go ahead, explain, man. This is news to me.
Well, primo is like you can take like weed, lace it with coke, or you could take a cigarette and lace it with crack, you know, like that. And they call them primos.
How much they sell something like that for?
$10 a pop.
Really?
And that all depends on which one it is. If it's a cigarette, it's $10. If it's weed, it's $20.
And this is in Hollywood?
Yeah.
Is that pretty popular?
It was when I was smoking. I don't know about now because, you know, like... when you like try to get away from it, you have to get new friends, you have to get away from all of it, because one thing always lead to another. You can't like be like, well, I'm gonna just hang out with my buddy, I quit. But see, when you smell it, boom, it's over. Like that, you know.
Just like girls.
Yeah, yeah.
People, places, and things.
Roth Radio, New York, Philadelphia, Dallas, Boston, live from the Rhythm Kitchen. We got another call here that says... Number 6, Eddie. He's got something on his mind. 6?
Yep.
Talk to me, 6. You're on.
Yo, Dave, what's happening, bro?
How are you today?
All right, bud.
Go ahead, man, you're on.
On this whole tweaker thing, you know, when I did it, you know, the whole thing between the meth and the coke is you don't have to coke, you got to constantly be doing all the time. The tweak, you hit it, and you're good for 6. Coke, you're doing it, and you got to do it the next half hour. The next half hour, you're busy, you can't even party, you're busy doing it all the time.
Well, that's a great rationalization, and I do believe, probably as you do, that rationalizations are more important than sex. When was the last time you went 3 days without rationalizing something? I gotta tell you, I love the way you think, though I disagree with virtually every syllable. I admire the process. I admire the process. But you know what? A lot of people think exactly the way that you think. And what they're ignoring is what's happening internally. And like I said before, it's not about recreation anymore. Way too many metric tons of this stuff is being consumed. And the reason for it now is that they're not saving it for the weekend. It's not being saved for the disco or the dance floor or the movie or what have you. They're using it to work. And this is all over Southeast Asia. This is all over Europe. This is pandemic. It runs all the way from Helsinki all the way down to Rio de Janeiro. And the rehab that they're practicing now in Southeast Asia is real extreme. What's his name? Osborne's kid just came back from there.
Is that where he was in rehab?
Yeah. I think he was in Thailand or something like that for his rehab. I might be mistaken.
I thought he was in Malibu.
No, there's a huge, major, seriously roughhouse rehab. They call it...
I forget what they call it, but it's speed, you follow? And there's so much addiction now throughout Southeast Asia, all of those countries over there, Thailand, Cambodia, et cetera, that the rehab there, the monks have taken it over. The Buddhist monks have started rehab facilities and stuff, and it's really roughhouse. And I think that's where Jack Osborne got involved, because when you get tied in with that Rush Limbaugh stuff, you know, what is it, Vicodin, and then you're speedballing. Is that better?
I think it's worse, like a lot worse, and that's what.
Because I've been in radio for 4 days, and I could dig a Vicodin. What's happening to me, Robin? Am I going to relocate to West Palm Beach and
and get your maid Wilma to go score for you?
Hopefully, she won't be named Wilma if I have any choice in the matter. Roth, number 14. Somebody's calling from Philadelphia. I don't know what the message is. His name is Lenny. Lenny, you are live
hey,
and in this.
Amen, Dave. Good show. Listen, I was wondering about, you said the EMT. You got a license with that when you were driving on the car, or were you just watching out there?
Do I have a license? Yeah, I'm 3-2.
Did you go through the schools and all that for EMT?
Oh, I certainly did. I don't drive because I don't have a New York City driver's license, but I'm badge number 327-466, and I have...
You went through all the training and everything.
I'm sorry?
You went through all that training.
Oh, yeah,
training?
You bet. It's about 200 hours academic, okay. And I've got close to 200 on street time. Now, my senior instructor, Linda Reisman, is here. She's the one who hooked me up with all my instructors, all my rides, all of my shifts and deployments. Go ahead, Linda.
Yeah, no, actually, Dave, you did 200.
He did
Dave did 240 hours, actually. We tailor-made a program for him based on what he wanted. We did the minimum, which is actually in New York City, in New York State, the minimum is 133. Dave did about 100 more hours than that, and, you know, we set him up, the guys from Rescue One up at the Rockland Training Center taught him how to tear apart cars and go in, and, you know, Dave did the real deal, and we brought different instructors in areas of expertise for him, and he got a top-notch education under the New York State curriculum.
I got the skills, and you know what I'm really good at? Lifting people. I'm not gonna.
Dare we ask why you're really good at that?
We got a heifer that's got to go down 14 flights. Call her off.
She's not kidding. Animal's the only one in the room who can really relate to that statement. No, there's, you know what, there's so many of my instructors and folks, you know, in the different precincts and stuff, who are well more knowledgeable about all internal medicine and all the whys and wherefores. You put 7 years on a shift like that, or as many of my partners did, then you're going to know a whole lot more than me. And in terms of the paramedics, whoa, if I ever have a headache or a heart attack or anything in between, send me a New York City paramedic. I don't want the heart doctor. I don't want, you know, send me. They know as much as anybody on the Delta teams. They know as much as anybody on the 91 Whiskey Combat Medic teams, what have you. But you know what I'm good at? Lifting. Oh, yeah. I got hundreds out. I can lift you out the ocean. I can lift you off the sidewalk. I can lift you out the gutter. I can lift you out your car. I can even pull the door off and lift you out the car. You bet.
Don't forget the roof, Dave.
Well, I'm also extraordinary at lifting the oxygen tank.
I've seen you lift a glass a few times.
Dave, I'm just curious. Did the guys in the garage teach you the hangover cure?
Oh, wait, you taught me the hangover cure. Dave, I know what the hangover cure
Dave,
is.
Dave, you're not supposed to say that, Dave.
Well, don't say it.
What is it?
No, there's many uses for oxygen. Anyway.
we could save that for another day, a whole new topic on the
Yeah, there's the regular, you know, EMT medicine, and then there's the urban medicine.
What's urban? What's a good urban?
There's a lot of little tricks and shortcuts that aren't really the official thing, but, you know, that save lives. And they're not exactly wrong, but, you know, and that's why the New York City paramedics are the way they are. These guys can...
Because they have hangovers, or because they deal with people with hangovers and you have to cure that?
Exactly, Dave. You know, through experience, you know.
I know that a lot of the people... Do we call them patients now, or do we call them clients? This has been a contest.
Under HIPAA, I think they're clients. No, you can call them patients. Yeah, yeah. You can
no, because there's different protocol them, for different places.
Yeah,
if
that's
they were
true.
Clients, they'd be paying you, though, right?
Yeah, they do. They pay, you know, a lot of... Oh, yeah, we bill in New York. Yeah, we bill in New York.
Anyway, EMT equals, I don't know what here. His name is Mo, and he's calling in on number 12.
I know a Mo from EMS.
Uh-oh. Mo, are you there? Talk to me, Mo.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Mo!
Hey, Linda, how you doing?
This is making me nervous.
Do you know Mo?
Don't worry about it. I'll be all right.
All right. What's going on?
Not much. Listen, Dave, I'm a big-time fan, long-time fan, and I'm glad you're on the radio. I've been listening all week. You've been doing great.
Thanks, sir.
All right. Last night I had a call. I'm working in Whitestone.
Oh, wait. You EMT. You drive? You're an operator? Okay.
It's not a call in New York. It's a job. You had a job.
Got it.
Excuse me. I had a job. Linda was my instructor.
Go ahead.
And this guy smoked so much weed, he jumped out of his second floor window, threw a window guard, and he left his sneaker on top of the window guard.
Who's his dealer?
Oh my
Sorry,
God.
I just, you know, it's the old Hollywood.
So you think Dave, 45 more minutes. Take it easy. Who's this? Is this Ross or is this Mo? Who's this?
Listen, I'm Blazer.
Laser, how are you?
This is
I'm doing fine. Thank you very much for asking.
Hold on one second here. My question is, do you really think that was all caused by marijuana? Come on. Well, even if you get the stuff that killed Elvis.
Was his wife at home?
honestly, when we went upstairs, he had a lesbian pregnant wife.
Are you serious?
I don't know what happened, but,
no, really, are you serious?
I was home last night.
Hold on, shut up.
He's serious. He's serious, right? Did he tell me again what he had up there? Go ahead.
All right, we went up to the apartment after we put him in the ambulance, and basically my partner's working him up, and we wanted to get some more background information, and we didn't see any other paraphernalia or whatever, but his eyes were bugging out like you wouldn't believe. So when Linda said that that you know they do lace the weed with whatever they lace it with nowadays.
Oh, sure, sure.
His eyes were bugging out so bad it wasn't funny. So yeah, that is true. Weed is being laced nowadays, ladies and gentlemen, and you know it's not like it used to be, not by far.
Well, there you got it right away. Why do you think they lace it? To give it more juice or to get it more addictive?
To get it more addictive, definitely.
And if this is a go fast scenario, right? They're lacing it with stuff that makes you pick up speed and get the energy, huh?
Man, I'm telling you, this guy didn't even know his own name. He didn't even know. He didn't even know that he jumped out the window.
How old was he?
22.
Well, that was Sammy Hagar.
Still claiming he's 22.
I'm pretty much sorry that
but,
I said
I mean,
that.
you were taught under
Hold on. Let's listen. Hold on. Let's listen to this fella. Go ahead.
Go ahead. You were taught under Linda's tutelage, and I was taught under Linda's tutelage. Believe me, we have nothing to worry about.
I consider it a privilege. Mo, thanks for calling us in. You want to go to spots, Hutch? Do you want to do that?
Yeah, we can go to spots, Dave.
Or do you want to drag it on for one more second? You want to take one more call?
Oh, there's always Lou Rawls.
Give it away. I don't want to know about it, baby.
I don't want to know what's for working 50 years from 9 to 5. Sing along with me, baby. While the boss is guzzling champagne and I'm belting beer in some dive. Cause I want to be happy and free, living and loving for me. I want to be happy and free, living and woo! Loving for me like a natural man.
Like a natural man.
Like a natural man.
Take it away, Hutch. Well,
David Lee Roth, Mornings.
Give me some guitar there, brother. Play along with the track. Roth Radio, and it's all going down, down, baby, like water getting thrown out of a bucket. Freak it, yeah! I didn't say that exactly right, or we'd have to peep the whole poem. Okay, we got calls, and here's something I'm not familiar with. Funeral home drugs. Number 14, Donna, NYC. You tuned directly to meet David Lee. Talk to me, Donna.
Good morning. You're great. Listen, I'm a funeral director and an embalmer, and
that in itself is interesting.
Well, kind of like the opposite of what you and Linda do,
which is get 'em up soldiers, huh?
Right. It all depends upon if we have a good day or a bad day on the ambulance.
What do you call it? A bad day, I'm busy.
Somebody said to me, hey, you've got a serious hobby. I said, I don't think of it as a hobby. Nobody dies during stamp collecting. I mean.
And like I said, when you have a bad day, I get very busy.
Okay, so?
Listen, we get periodically in, you know, our publications and newsletters that come around and sometimes even our faxes. They tell us to make sure we lock up our chemicals, which we're supposed to do anyway.
Which chemicals are you referring to?
Embalming fluid.
Whoa!
You know, formaldehyde base, phenol base, anything like that. They tell us to be extra diligent because the kids, for some reason, are smoking, soaking marijuana in it to get a better kick out of it.
Linda, what do you know about that?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. That we talked about before, that they're lacing the cigarettes, the marijuana pot, you know, joints with that stuff.
Damn.
And not just with the crystal meth, but dipping actually the entire joint, even after it's rolled. They're dipping it in the formaldehyde. It dries, and then you get an additional high off of that. And also, they steal the formaldehyde and snort, you know, smell it, you know, and put it in.
And that gets you high, huh?
Yeah, it's really bad.
I used to think Jack Daniels was embalming fluid, but you're telling me that I was a novice compared to what's going on now, huh?
This was a 70s thing, too, for a while, you know. And
People used to dip cigarettes in Pall Malls and paregoric cough syrup back in the 50s. That was a big downtown thing in the Village, you know. You get the spin on that.
Yeah, the other thing they got to light up, like the vet places, the veterinarian, they have to lock up their ketamin, which is a drug that anesthetizes animals, and you don't need it in a small
quantity. Special K. I've never taken that.
Well, Dave, now that you mention it, yeah, Special K, Dave.
No, that's what it is.
You're
ketamine.
Absolutely right.
You get a lot of people in the...
Damn, you really did listen when I taught you.
Totally.
Holy moly.
I've run across a couple of cases. People fall in what they call the K-hole. Is they black out. All their vision goes away.
So you were at Woodstock 99, Dave, right?
No, you were running the medical tent, right?
We ran out of Ativan. We ran in 4 hours, less than 4 hours. And some of the EMTs that are out there work with me up there. We had to send helicopters to Albany Medical Center to pick up additional stuff that we needed in terms of getting people down from being high. And we needed stuff, so much stuff, because we ran out of it. And, you know, they were doing ecstasy and they were doing K, and we ran out of Narcan.
Explain what Narcan is.
It's an antagonist, you know, basically for narcotics. And it can,
if you threaten a junkie with a shot of Narcan, they come back from the dead like, boom!
Really? Because
they know it'll kill their high.
Oh, yeah.
It happens. It's a receptor blocker or whatever. It blocks the receptor, and it happens within seconds. And a lot of times you get a junkie, right, who just wants to get three hots and a cot, you know, maybe check in and get out of the rain, you know, or someplace warm for a change or whatever, and they're going to pretend like they're ODing, or they actually did OD, but not as OD'd as you might think. And you say, I'm going to give you a shot of Narcan. They come back like Dracula on fast motion. Tell them about it.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true. And you could also get yourself hurt when you're in the ambulance because they wake up wild, you know, and thank God our paramedics in New York are pretty smart about how they do that. You know, it's a gradual thing. You just can't pop someone with it because they wake up wild. But yeah, but this is a big problem, and a lot of the young kids out there don't know. And parental education is important. That's one thing, but yeah.
They call it wet, by the way.
What's wet?
That's what they call dipping the joint. They call it smoking wet.
How do you know that?
Because I got a friend who's in rehab because he was dipping his joints.
Same thing, huh?
Yeah.
And what kind of space did he get out of that? What does that do? You go three ways at once, like a bumblebee.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's just like kind of lacing it with, you know, like a PCP or something, and kind of trips you out.
Just more bang for your buck, huh?
It's like taking acid and smoking a joint.
I love it when people say, yeah, back in the day, everybody was partying. It used to be crazy, right? When you got started, I tell them, no. When I got started, the only people who partied like rock stars was rock stars. Everybody else drank Budweiser and scotch, okay?
Yeah.
Or you know, I make the joke about Jack Daniels is embalming fluid. Actually, Jack Daniels is what we call bikini remover. But the only place that you would run into the kind of activities that we're talking about now might be LA, New York, possibly Chicago, possibly Miami. Well, you know, you had the Cowboys deck in the early 80s, you know, the Scarface routine, but maybe three cities in the United States, and everywhere else you'd be lucky if you saw somebody smoking a joint or whatever. But today everybody parties like a rock star, man. The power of television, One Nation Under Cable, in 82 different languages. Everybody's looking over each other's shoulder on the TV set going, wow, where'd you get those shoes? What's that you're smoking? What do you call that haircut? And everybody picks up on it quick. Used to be in the rural areas of the United States. Who knew what was going on in New York City, the big world? I don't know. Let's see if this. Number 13, Steve, calling me from wherever. Dave, have you ever... You make the question. Steve, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Number 13, you're on. Go.
Yeah. I was wondering, since you're an EMT worker, have you ever come across a meth lab?
I have never come across a meth lab here in the state of New York, but through periodic training, let me give a little background here. What's happening with the military today is they're starting to function like police. The military today travels to different countries like a SWAT team. And is more about stabilizing peace or attempting to maintain peace. Skip Iraq for the moment. But, you know, when we start shipping soldiers over to Liberia or Uganda or whatever, they're functioning like a SWAT team. In Sierra Leone, you know, where the West Side is, or the RUF, is robbing the diamond mines or everything. We send our military over there, and they act like a SWAT team. Our SWAT teams today function like light infantry. They have to approach a meth lab these days just the same way that an infantry does outside of Fallujah. You don't just walk up and knock on the door of a meth lab. Meth labs are little trailers or little, they look like little outhouses, a little wooden place, you know, almost with the little wood, with the moon carved out of the door. And they're separate so that they can see who's coming. All of your ingress.
Aren't they really dangerous, too?
Don't they're completely, the corrosive fumes are in there that all of your cops now, and even us. I got my Tyvek suit, and I'm not kidding. This is a self-contained plastic suit with gas mask, et cetera, et cetera. And it's so self-contained and sealed that you have to have a little speaker because they can't hear you talking through it.
Wow.
All right? And these guys routinely take their lives in their hands when they walk in there because if you breathe that stuff, it's also explosive, highly combustible. And all throughout areas like, Arizona, outside of Las Vegas and all of that desert area outside of Phoenix in these areas is where all of the SWAT teams train now for approaching and making ingress into a meth lab because it's not meth labs usually aren't run in little apartments. They may be around here. But in most of the United States, they set them out in the middle of nowhere so that the dogs can start barking long before anybody crosses from the highway up to the front door so that they, you know, so and you have to approach it like military. And without a whole lot of explanation, I've seen a lot of that. And it's turning into a whole nation now. It's not just a drug dealer. It's a nation. And ultimately, those are the folks who are going to be the most responsible for all of, you know, everything that goes wrong. Hey, you run out of dope, you're going to do anything you can to get on that, especially if you based your livelihood on it. I'm a truck driver. I need this to stay awake. I no longer have my stay awake. How much of a truck driver am I going to be? I need some money right now. And next thing, things go wrong in a hurry. Have you ever seen a meth lab?
No, I was just wondering if there was anyone around because I need to get some of that to stay awake.
Well, at least you're honest. Thanks for calling. Okay, we got veterinarian dope number 8, Bob. And for those of you who are dyslexic, that's
hello.
Your parents were afraid that they would have a dyslexic child, so they named you Bob, right?
And Otto. How you doing, Dave?
I'm doing excellent, thanks.
Excellent crew. Well, you know, just a few minutes ago you were talking about animal hospitals or Robin ones, and supposed to be locked up, the things that are supposed to be locked up, but from my experience here is that it's very lax, and then the weekend people come in.
Are you a veterinarian? Bob, are you a veterinarian?
I'm a vet tech.
What's a vet tech?
Well,
explain that
it goes from poop scooping to holding the dog down, helping the doctor run lines. It's pretty much anything that you know, without being, I'm not certified, so it's just whatever I can do, whatever needs. A lot of cleaning, a lot of helping, a lot of holding.
Understood.
A lot of blood, you know.
Sure.
But the weekend staff that comes in, there seems to be a lot of things missing come Monday. That's
same so thing when my rhythm
key,
section shows up.
Yes, under really strict and probably more maybe better functioning places, they are more strict. But here, things seem to just disappear.
What do you think? Why do you think so much desperate effort to get high? What's going on that's causing people to use animal dope?
Is it
that much better? I'm serious.
I've dabbled and I don't know what that does for you, but it's a paralyzing type of thing, and I don't know why people would want to ingest things that were made, you know, for not humans. But then again,
it's
why
the hair of the
do
dog?
Do?
A little bit goes a long way.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
yeah.
probably it. It's highly more concentrated. Something
Absolutely.
A little more exotic.
And it's free. You know,
and anytime, and you know what? And if you can't get what you want, then you'll just you will even approximate what you need. I remember we would get people come into the hospital when I was a surgical orderly who would come in, junkies who no longer had the good stuff, and they would shoot up water, or they would shoot up. We had one guy come and shoot up wine.
Just for what? Just for the psychological effect?
Sure. They were so used to the ritual,
right?
You know, of taking their belt off and, you know, and the whole thing that, you know.
Dave, can I just say something on the side, then I'm going to go back to work? I've been playing guitar for a long time. I just want you to know that Eat 'Em and Smile to me is like one of my top 10 albums of all time.
I appreciate it. I'm flat. Hold on one second. I'm going to tie off and shoot up. Here we go.
Oh, God, Dave. Eat 'Em and Smile.
David Lee Roth, Mornings.
You're listening to David Lee Roth. Roth Radio, first thing in the morning. Shockingly consistent. Umelinganisha moja kwa moja kwa David Lee Roth. Moto kidogo na sanamu za kushangaa.
Roth Radio broadcasting in Swahili, Swedish, Thai, Korean, Espanol, Esperanto. Oye, miralo. New York, Philadelphia, Dallas, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach, 866-313-F3733.
I'm waiting to hear the one that goes, David Lee Roth.
That would be one of Heidi's girls.
That one's 50 bucks extra.
That's Okay, number 12. He dips his weed. Use a pun, go to jail. I know. Nick, go ahead. 866-313-3733. What's his name? Matt, you're on.
Hey, Mr. Roth, what's going on? How are you?
I'm extraordinarily feeling good. We're just about to head for the weekend here. What's on your mind this morning?
No, not much, man. I'm just saying, man, I used to do all that stuff, the ketamine and the dipping the smoke in the diesel.
What's diesel? What is diesel?
Diesel's PCP. It's like liquid. It's like a liquid jar of PCP, and you dip your cigarette or your blunt in it, you burn it back, and then you're pretty much flying all over for the next few hours.
Okay, now what I see is this Snoop Doggy has marketed. Look at Animal. He was woke
up. Oh, man. Look at
me. He'd be running with Snoop.
No. Snoop Doggy has a line of blunt skins, right?
Yeah,
that are
exactly.
Coconut flavor, mango flavored, and
yep.
Et cetera. Have you ever used those, Animal?
Of course.
Those things are terrible, man.
Are they? What, you mean they taste terrible or they don't burn right?
Well, they taste good, but the ash is so hard, you know, it's filled with really bad stuff, man.
Okay, well, hold on. You want to speak to that, Animal?
Yeah, he's right. The ash is, that's why I don't mess with it no more. I don't even do blunts no more because it makes it short when and then the ash is right. The ash is so hard, you can about roll the ash again, you know, off those blunts, man. Yeah.
He's recycling.
It's kind of like, when you were so poor, you would boil your shirt to get the soup stains out of it. Drink the water, huh? So now, so you stopped doing all of this. And what do you do now?
Now I deliver for a pharmacy, actually.
Only in America.
Well, you can't top that one, can you?
Oh, man.
Diamond Dave's Tiki Bunker, where the debris meets the sea.
What'd you put on your resume when you went there for the job? I'm just curious.
It was really just a hookup from a friend, you know? I didn't give him a resume.
Isn't it always?
Knock on wood, buddy. Knock on wood.
That's cool. This was the best call of all. Thanks for calling us in. Number 9. Mike, he wants some advice. Mike, are you there? Calling in from Jersey. Talk to me, Mike.
Hey, Dave. How you doing, bud?
Great. What's up?
Not much, man. Dude, let me tell you something. You are a class act. You helped me so much about 12, 14 years ago. You called me. You were up on the west side, upper west side of Manhattan, in a restaurant called Columbus with a friend of yours and a friend of yours and a friend of my father's. You called me. Took the time out of your busy life. Call me, talk to me for 20 minutes at least, and we had such a great conversation.
And what was this? What was this? Your dad said something, or what was this about?
Yeah, my dad said I'm like your biggest fan, which was very correct. And, you know.
Oh, and then he handed me the phone? No, this happens all the time. People say, hey, would you say hello to my girlfriend, or would you say hello to my my probation officer, or, you know.
Wasn't even a woman, and you got on the phone with me. That's beautiful.
And what advice did I give you?
You gave me some wonderful advice. You know, we were talking.
Which was what? What was the advice?
I had to test you at first. I didn't believe you were David Lee Roth.
Okay.
I had to quiz you. I thought it was one of my friends put me up to it.
So okay, like, cut to the crash. What was the advice? Give me the advice or I'm going to lose the call. Give me the advice I gave you.
Okay. You said, you know, don't mess around with that white stuff.
This doesn't sound realistic to me at all. I think somebody was playing a game with you, because I would never say an expression like that, and I don't dispense, you know, any kind of barroom philosophy or this kind of saloon wisdom unless people are paying me extraordinary amounts to get up in the morning to do it. I might have called to say, hey, kid, real pleasure to say hello or anything. But maybe somebody was putting you on and still gave you good advice. Wow, you hear him sinking away into the past? Wow, he's sinking away into the Oblivion. My advice is free for a reason, folks. Take it all with a block of salt. What?
When I first came to teach you, I didn't really believe I was teaching David Lee Roth. I thought, if it was when someone told me that, I said, no, it can't be.
You mean 3 days after you met me, you still couldn't believe it?
I expected you to come to the door, like, you know, with a bottle of Jack Daniels, a joint in your mouth, and a chick on your shoulder. You definitely did not have the joint in your mouth.
I thought the same thing when he first came to Boston. I thought exactly the same thing. I thought, this isn't the guy.
No, I look very different. I cut my hair. I stopped dyeing my hair World Wrestler Federation orange so that I could hide, man. No, I'm an expert at urban camouflage. Most of the precincts that I've worked in all the boroughs, as you well know, Instructor Reisman, have no idea that I was in and out of those. Some of those, like over at Long Island College Hospital, the triage nurses and stuff had no idea. I'd be in and out of that emergency room sometimes a dozen times in one night. Nobody had any idea. I think probably the last time that I got recognized was one of my last jobs up in Harlem, and I took care of a couple of guys who got their necks busted when the ceiling fell in on them, a couple of firemen. And there was a sixth-floor fire, big-time stuff. The whole neighborhood turned out. And a couple of guys were piking the ceiling, and it fell in on them. And they screwed up their necks and their backs, and I was the one who packed them up and, you know, put them in the van and everything. And even they at first were like, wait a minute. Are you Bon Jovi? But I sneak around. No, you know, I went with, you know, completely, this is really me. This is, you know, this is the way I looked in the Boy Scouts long before Eddie Van Halen started whining about it. So here we go. Number 8, Kevin's calling from Massachusetts. Kevin, are you there? Number 8.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good. Have you started the weekend, or you want some advice on how to?
I'm starting my week in early today. But my question is, you guys talk about cocaine, you talk about methamphetamines, but you guys forget about ecstasy. It's one of those top-notch drugs that are out there that kill, you know what I mean? And people just take it. It's got everything in it. And it's a rough, rough, rough drug. I did it myself. I regret it, you know what I mean? I don't want to do it anymore, but it's bad. If you get hooked on it, you turn into an e-tard and forget about it.
Well, it carries the connotation that it's somehow hippie. That's a nice, warm, cuddly kind of a connotation to have. When I say hippie, I mean the version that is, you know, kind of warm and lovey and, you know, touchy-feely and whatnot. And then when you say MDMA, whatever that stands for, that's what, you know, ecstasy supposedly is, then that has, well, that's not really the scary words, right? That's just a couple of letters or whatever. But actually what ecstasy is, most of it is just another version of speed. It's all go fast, you know?
Yeah, but that's today. Ecstasy actually ruined my first marriage.
Ooh, let's hear this.
Yeah, this is a fun story.
This is a fun story.
But ecstasy at the time was legal, and it was the MDMA. Is that what
MDMA?
It was?
MDMA.
Atom, they used to call it.
What year was this?
It was probably 88, something like that.
Sure.
And we got some ecstasy, and it was legal, and somebody sent us like 20 hits of ecstasy, and the marriage would have ended anyway. But I took a hit, didn't do anything. I waited an hour. I took another hit, didn't do anything. Honestly, I took 8 hits over period of like 3 hours. And on the 8th one, it all kicked in.
Oh, no.
And and it was great. You know, they used to, they made it. It was great. It was originally made for marriage counseling, this drug.
That's right.
Yeah, because it like does something to, you know, allow your truth out.
Touchy-feely. Touchy-feely.
Exactly. Yeah. So I am flying on this stuff. And my husband, who is a musician, brings out this record album. What am I, 90? He brings out this album that he had made. And I never knew about this album. And he puts it on. And I'm all touchy-feely and like everything's just great. And he drops the needle down on this track and the record starts going around. And I hear him singing in this thing that he composed. And I just puked.
I literally
puked.
And he never got over
it.
That's a musician.
It was the beginning and the end. So Ecstasy.
Probably ruined his record album.
I have Ecstasy to thank.
No, seriously, that's probably what ended it right there.
I'm sure it was. Definitely the beginning of the end.
You heard it here. Ecstasy ruins marriages.
It ruins musicians, too. It ruins your appreciation of music, or does it improve it?
Well, it certainly I vomited on it.
Well, then perhaps it improved your powers of perception. Let's see what the Amish would, if the Amish would agree. I've got Palmer on number 13. I don't know if he's Amish, but it says Amish Meth Labs. That actually sounds like a band name as well, doesn't it?
Hey, Dave.
Yes?
Go ahead, you're on.
Yeah, these meth labs out here, I'm serious.
What are you pointing at? Where is out here? Where are you?
In Ohio. I live in Worcester, Ohio, and
there's Amish there?
Are there Amish where you are?
No.
You just said that to get on, to get through the phone lines?
No, they're where I work at. Our factory is in Amish country.
Okay.
And there's rumors out there. I mean, you hear it on the radio, all these meth labs that you're getting busted. But the guys I work with, they tell me, if you want the good drugs, that's where you go, into the Amish.
I hope they're not dipping the pretzels.
Wait a minute, stop. These are the same guys who told me I was going to have professional guests this week, right?
I love to think, though, of like the Amish do all those barn raisings. You could have like a meth lab raising.
It would be a barn raising, but in one third the time.
Maybe that's why they get them done so fast.
I don't think. I'm going to go on record and say that the Amish are a small, tightly knit little community, and I really doubt that they've decided on a whole nother approach to
dipping pretzels in meth.
Dipping pretzels in meth. Now there's a song title. Isn't it? By Amish Meth Labs.
It was like the Muscles from a Shell song.
I can't wait to see that headlines.
That's so funny. No, I'm going to go on record and say I don't believe that the Amish have meth labs, but I bet you they got some real good sex problems. What do you think?
Oh, you need some GHB then, Dave, for sex problems.
I'm going to want to hear about that on Monday, very first thing. My friends, you've been listening to Roth Radio. Say hello, say goodbye to all my best friends here.
Goodbye.
Linda Soup, Robin Bakai, thank you for joining us.
Oh,
for
so much fun.
Goodbye, New York.
So many miles away. Animal, you're not leaving. You're going to be here Monday to tell us about whatever that
GHB.
Was. That's what the strippers use, right?
Oh, yeah.
Allegedly. Be Young, give me a little noise on the guitar one time there. Yo, baby. Go. He's saving it for the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
David Lee Roth, Roth Radio. We just came crashing through the first week. You want to go for it?
Go for it?
Give us some music and we'll take it out in the spot. See you guys on Monday morning. Thank you so much. Love for you, baby. Roth Radio, 1-800. See ya.
Just ain't enough love.
David Lee Roth in the mornings.